Good morning. We were remembering Dadiji, especially on Friday, the 25th of August, when it was the actual day, which is the memorial day for Dadi. And many of you would have watched the webcast in which there was the Bhog message that came. And some of you would also know that it was the launch of the release of the postage stamp in commemoration of Dadiji that day. And so Brijmohan Bhai had been the organizer for that, so he wasn't in Abu, but he was in Delhi at the president's home. And so Friday was very full, but we thought that we'd keep our special day to honor Dadi today, Sunday, so that we could celebrate it with the whole family. And you're seeing many seats empty because the mothers are still in the kitchen doing a lot of things, preparing for the bhog. Memories of Dadi. The very first memory of Dadiji conducting Amrit Vela in the hills of Mahableshwar. I'd just come into Gyan properly, knowing Dadi and Baba since childhood, but actually taking Gyan in April 68, and then 6 weeks later in May, Dadi Janki said that there was going to be an exhibition in Mahableshwar. In India at that time, Baba had said, let there be exhibitions organized in all the main hill resorts, the hill stations. People would come there, they'd be free, they would have a chance to understand some gyan and yoga. And so Bombay and Pune, Baba would say, are brother and sister. And so they'd often work together. And Pune was closer to Mahableshwar and is than Mumbai. And so they'd taken a boarding school, which was vacant for the holidays. And so about 40 of us stayed in that boarding school. And they'd taken the town hall in Mahableshwar, where they put up this exhibition. And those few days, I think 4 days, were the inspiration that my life should be one of surrender and of service. And Chandruben from San Francisco and myself had a similar story. She too, her mother in Gyan since she was a child. And that was a time that both of us were understanding Gyan properly. And so Dadiji had his special vision on both of us. And after breakfast, when it was time to go to the exhibition, very often she'd seek us out and say, come with me. And the school was on a hill and the town hall was on another hill, and so we'd have to come down one hill and go up another. And Dadi must have been about 48 at the time, so still young and strong. And so she'd catch hold of our hands and she'd run down the hill with us. And so when you heard the other day that with a child, Dadi would be a child, with a young, Dadi'd be young. And so Mahableshwar was a turning point, a big turning point in my life. But the morning, Amrit Vela, the moon would still be out, and Dadi already had silver hair. And so we'd see Dadi conducting Amrit Vela out in the gardens. And it was very warm, so it was fine. And it literally was a goddess who was conducting Amrit Vela, very, very beautiful. And then the Murali, of course, was beautiful. But then through the day, she'd be with us at the exhibition. And on the way back, very often, she'd say, stop, and there'd be, nowadays you can get strawberries the whole year, everywhere in the world. In those days you couldn't, and you could only get strawberries in Mahableshwar. By the time they travelled to Pune or Bombay, they wouldn't be much use. So it was there in Mahabaleshwar that they would be selling those cartons of strawberries. It was summer. And so she'd stop there and say, come, let's buy strawberries and we'll have a picnic before we have lunch. So always, even at that time, you could see that the sanskars that made her say later on, let's have 108 varieties of toli for everyone who comes for Shivratri. So you could already see those sanskars of not just spiritual concern, but also just fun. The tolis for Shivratri are another story, and I'll get to that in a minute. But this particular scene, and Mahabaleshwar, and I'd see people coming into the town hall, and they'd have very ordinary faces, worried sometimes, but just normal. And then half an hour, somebody would take them around, and by the time they were ready to leave, their faces would be sparkling, a total change. And I could see the immediate impact of jnana and vibrations on those souls. And it woke up something in me that, yes, this is a sort of service that the world needs. So Mahabaleshwar was a very deep memory of Dadiji in so many ways. And then going to Madhuban in June was more Baba and Dadi Janki. But October, Baba asked me to accompany Didi when she left, Didi Manmohini, when she left to go on a tour. Firstly, it was a very short tour, Jaipur, Delhi, Agra. Then Baba extended it and extended it for Dadiji, Didi. And the secret behind that was that Dadiji was put as the manager of the yagya while Didi was going to be traveling. And everybody thought it's a few weeks. But Baba kept extending Didi's tour. And finally she was at the Kumbh Mela. And it took from Saturday night through till Monday morning to actually contact her. No mobile phones. This is by then January 69, 18th. So they couldn't reach her till the 20th. Wherever they called, she just left. She just left. And so she and Pardadi only arrived on the 21st. They left Calcutta on the 20th. They came back there. Then 21st they arrived just before they were to lift the coffin onto the vehicle, because Baba had sent a message that they should take Baba's body around Abu so that everybody would have a glimpse. So Baba's plan, and of course Shiv Baba knew, Brahma Baba knew, that that period of nearly 4 months was going to be the time that Dadiji had to be with Sakar Baba and understand all the mechanics of the yagya and all the secrets of the yagya too. Didi had had 4 years already, and so she knew everything about the yagya, but Dadiji was living in Bombay, would come just from time to time. And so again, when you look back, it's very clear God's plan was that literally Dadiji would have that time. And it was incredible because as soon as Baba left, the first call went to Dadi Gulzar to say, this is what's happened, drama, please come to Abu. And then everything was following messages from Baba, exactly what needed to happen. Again, another long story. But Dadiji's courage at that point was incredible. I was in Agra and I arrived back in Abu on the Monday morning. We left Sunday morning, came in on Monday morning. So we saw the tapasya that was going on and so forth. But there was only one moment at which Dadiji's voice broke. Monday, it was silence anyway in yoga, and it was on the Tuesday morning, the 21st, that Dadiji, no Murali, just yoga. Then on the 21st morning, 7 o'clock, Dadiji's come and sat on the gadi, and her voice broke as she started to speak. And it's still recorded. You can literally hear her voice break, but in that hall being there, just a moment when the voice broke, and the atmosphere of everyone there, by then it was about 400-500 people gathered there, all squashed in the history hall and standing at the back, just for a moment. And Dadi caught herself. She could see the impact it had on everybody, and again started to share very calmly what the proceedings were going to be the whole day. So Dadiji was thrown into that role of leadership, and she rose to the occasion literally instantly. And through her whole period, from, I don't know many leaders who've been in the same position for that long, but from 21st January 1969 through to 25th August 2007, that's a long, long stretch of several decades, and Dadiji held that role. And it wasn't a role on paper, it was a role that she played through her qualities. The leader who had love and law, the one who had purity, spiritual authority and humility. The combination of all the qualities through which we would say that, yes, here's a soul who has 16 celestial degrees. More personal stories. Dadi had come to London for the first time, June 77, and it was a small family. Even when we had everyone come, it was about 100 people, and we couldn't be in Tennyson Road. It was the days of just Tennyson Road. And so we'd hired a hall that was in West Hampstead, very close by, 15 minutes drive, 10 minutes drive. And this was a Parsi temple at that time. I don't know where they went afterwards, but at that time, the head of the Parsi community was very close to us. Interfaith started right from the 70s. And so they were very generous and kind and said we could have the hall. And every morning we had class there. And Daddy stayed in a tiny little room in Tennyson Road, where all of us were. And Dadiji's lightness, Dadiji's love. But in particular, many of you know Brother Anthony, who was a pioneer for establishing Baba service in many different countries. But he had heard a radio broadcast in which I'd been telling people, it was BBC Radio London. Those days we had access to radio in a big way. Now it's become more difficult. But we had an interview about Dadiji's forthcoming programs. And he had come to Tennyson Road, started the course before Dadi came. So then Dadi Janki gave him permission. He'd only been in hearing Gyan for about 10 days. But Dadi gave him permission to come to the Murali. No preparation for the Murali at that point, but he just came. And the thing that turned him around, because he'd studied many of the scriptures, the Old Testament, the New Testament, various things. But he always related how there was one thing that made him understand that this was what he needed to do, Raj Yoga. And it was when that he said with total authority, "You must not remember anyone except the one." That is man mana bhav, just the remembrance of one. And so reading today's Murali, you understand why that story came to mind. But also another thing, there was an individual who had been very helpful, and through the whole preparations, a Pakka Brahman, very helpful in all the preparations. And the first day they met Dadi, the second day they didn't come. And I was very concerned. And I told Dadiji that I think I should go and see them and see what's happened. They weren't replying on the phone. And Dadi said, "No, that's not useful. You need to be here. There's many things to be done here. More important than a telephone call is the power of silence, and it'll work. And so just become very quiet in your own mind and just put that soul in front of Baba, and they'll come. And you don't need to do this for very long. You just need to do this for a few moments." And that's what we did. Daddy sat with me also in Baba's room. And the next thing, that evening, that person came and continued to come. And I didn't ask them what went wrong, what happened, but whatever it was got resolved just with the power of silence. Lots of stories, but two other things that I want to share especially. 95, and we had, or maybe 96, we had the inauguration of Gyan Sarovar. And many of you know the hall there, about 1,000 people. And we had a very powerful gathering on the stage. And it was a person who came to Abu for the first time, who was our main guest, a very important lawyer, very well known in Bombay and India. So he was our main guest. And when he'd spoken a few things in which he talked about bhakti things. And I could see that he was very quiet, going deep inside. And I wondered how she was going to respond to him and whether she would actually speak about some of the things that he'd mentioned, which were bhakti ideas, and start sharing the ideas of Gyan. And when she spoke, she said, "Is there anyone in this gathering who can say, I have never spoken a lie?" And the whole hall was silent. And she said, "I can say, I have never spoken a lie in the whole of my life, under any circumstances." And you can imagine the applause she got. But more than the applause, the attention of this lawyer. And he was absolutely transfixed. And Daddy went on to talk about various other things, but how God is truth and God comes to share the knowledge of the Gita, the truth, and so on. And Chandraben and myself were walking back from the hall to Daddy's cottage. And we said to each other, when Daddy said, "I have never spoken a truth, an untruth in my life," it was with such authority and power and love, and that it was absolutely a fact that sometimes, you know, sometimes you say, okay, you don't speak a lie, but you're sparing with the truth, right? And so you have to ask many questions to get the truth out. So we've had that experience where you can be sparing with the truth. And so Chandraben said that, "I've been to Dadi and I've said to her, Dadi, this, that and this has happened. But Dadi, please don't tell that individual, because they'll really get very upset with me if you tell them." And she says, even while I'm sitting with Daddy, then this individual comes to Daddy, and before anything else, Daddy will speak to them and say, is this whatever the story is this correct? And Daddy won't wait for sparing the truth, but she'll immediately tackle it, and then whatever is the story is then resolved. And so Jenrabhen said that it's true, Daddy could never keep a secret. Whatever it was, she would want to share. Many stories, but last story before we get into other things. The last year or so of Daddy, and by then we were in Shantivan, and Daddy's authority was such that you could never ever say no to her. And it would have been early February that we were there, but she shared with us a story of what had happened just earlier. And when she came into class early morning, she said, would you all like to have 108 tolis for Shivratri? And everybody says, gee, yes, Daddy. And Daddy says, I've arranged it for all of you. On Shivratri, you're all going to get 108 tolis. And the story behind it was that she told us afterwards, she had the thought, she never said, Daddy, I think. She would say, Daddy had the thought. So she said, before we'd come at the end of January, she told the Madhuban Nivasis when they were preparing for the coming of the season. And that short time in January was the only preparation time. So she told the Madhuban Nivasis, Daddy has a thought. We should get 108 tolis. Can we do that? And the main heads of department of Madhuban were with her, about 50, 60 of them. And they said, looked at each other first, and Daddy said, only if you all agree. But this is Daddy's thought. And so, of course, they all said yes. And then she told them, okay, let's plan it. And so they started making plans for how many nuts, varieties, how many dry fruits, how many fresh fruits, how many sweet tolis, how many savory tolis, and the list of 108 got together like this. But that was just the list. And then somebody said, well, we need to get the fruits and nuts, I'll go to Delhi. Somebody said this, somebody said that. And within a space of 10 days, whatever was purchased was done. And then by the time we arrived, Daddy actually took us into hall number 8, the other side of Diamond Hall, where they still do lots of things. And there we saw a whole factory line and little packets of nuts. And so one sister putting something, another sister. So the line went along and the packets were being passed on. And at the end of the line, the packet of fruits and nuts was ready, and so on and so on. And so the command that Daddy had over everyone's hearts, and of course her big heart, absolutely no limits. Everything's available at Madhuban. Whatever you want to do in Madhuban, Daddy will organize. And so the power of purity, where there's only love and yet also the power of truth, the law. And so I think many, many of you would have thousands of stories, but really Baba chose an amazing soul to lead the yagya and guide it to that phase where there was going to be expansion not just in Bharat but also across the world. And Daddy's visit to New York again in 77. And the sister who was responsible isn't here in the hall now, but I think she'll be watching the webcast. Jyoti. Jyoti's love, Jyoti's phone calls, every day while Daddy was in London. Daddy didn't have time to get an American visa before she left to come here. And she got here and no visa for America, and meanwhile Jyoti's calling. And then I remember that there is a family in Trinidad who has very close contact with everyone, all the ambassadors. And I call them and I say, "Can you, Daddy's coming to Trinidad such and such a date, can you organize a visa for the USA for her?" And they say, "We'll try." And within a day we hear that it's happening. And so Daddy's visit to New York, and Daddy goes to the UN, and she stands there where they have all the flags for Baba, for the world, and she says, "One day Baba's flag will be flying here." And everything is still very simple, very basic, but Daddy's vision. And of course, I'm sure that's yet to happen, but it will definitely happen. But certainly Baba's flag is flying in 120 countries already. So Daddy's far-sighted vision and the power of love, and truly Prakash Mani, the jewel of light. We're going to be watching Daddy's very tiny little film, but a very lovely one with the new song. There have been so many new songs that have come up this season, and so many animations and films. If you go on YouTube, you'll spend the whole day just watching and watching.